We're gonna move on to the unlawful taking of oyster cases, agenda item number 13.
I believe we have an officer for this as well.
I believe that we do have Officer Morris.
Commission's pleasure, we would like to address the case involving Mr. David A. Turner first, before all others.
Okay. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God? Please approach the microphone, state your name for the record here, and address the matter of Mr. David Turner.
Senior Officer Michael Morris with Virginia Marine Police. This is a crossover. I believe this is going to be repeat offender as well as oyster violation.
Yes.
That's fine. Thank you. All right. On July 14th, 2014, I had an occasion to be in the city of Newport News along the Huntington Beach area of the city on the James River, and I observed a number, there were four boats working in the area that we were looking at. On the chart that's up on the screen right now, you'll see the pink line, which runs down through the center. Okay, so I'll use it on this. And you see this pink line that runs down through here, down this way. This is the polluted line, which has been marked by VMRC to show the leaseholder, who is Mr. Green, where it is legal for him to take clean oysters and where he would have to get further permits to get the oysters that would be in this area right here, which would be in a condemned area. On that particular date, the Lucia Net was this boat up here. There's two dots in this area. The Lucia Net is named here. He's the boat closer to the polluted line. There's another boat that is named there. The Lucia Net was found by my partner and I to be 268 feet beyond the polluted line into the polluted area or condemned area along the shoreline, and we observed him working that area from somewhere in the neighborhood of 5:55 till 6:30 when he was approached by boat. And Mr. David Turner is the owner-operator of the Lucia Net. He was convicted in court.
On what day?
On September 25th and of this year, and paid or has scheduled to pay a fine of $300 and $101 cost of court. Mr. Turner has been known to me for a number of years, as well as a number of violations, as being a repeat offender. I have nine other individuals that I'll need to be talking about, but Mr. Turner is the one that is up here as a crossover.
Yeah, to clarify the commission here, we have 10 cases all from the same area, the same date, the same offenses. Mr. Turner here is in a little bit of a different category in that he has a previous license suspension and an especially long history of violations. This case is being brought under 28.2-528 here, just so you know here. So that is the code section that requires the commission to revoke on conviction for these offenses for a minimum of 6 months and a maximum of 2 years. Ms. Griff, can you explain the fisheries-related aspects to this particular issue?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner. So Mr. David Turner commercial licenses were originally revoked under 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia for 12 months last December 10th, 2013, to extend through December 9th, 2014, followed by 1 year probation owing to repeat offender violations of 2 warm water violations and for harvesting oysters without shellfish tags and an aquaculture permit to do so. Now, during his revocation, he had 1 conviction entered on September 25th, 2014, for harvesting oysters from a condemned area as defined in 28.2.810 of the Code of Virginia, valued at $300. This is a riparian oyster planting ground assigned pursuant to Article 1, 28.2-600 of Chapter 6 of Title 28.2 of the Code of Virginia. Now, as authorized under 28.2528 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all of Mr. Turner's licenses to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organisms. Staff recommends that the revocation extend for 2 years from Mr. Turner's conviction date of September 25, 2014, and ending September 24, 2016, again, as provided by 28.2528.
Officer Morris, I have a quick question here just to tighten the record up a little bit here. Mr. Turner didn't produce any documentation from the riparian property owner in writing that he had permission to harvest there?
Yes, his partner, Mr. Breen, was on the boat, and my understanding is that Mr. Breen was partnered with Mr. Turner for the simple fact that he could get permits that Mr. Turner could not get because of his suspension.
Okay. Mr. Turner, we'll confide to Mr. Turner for the time being, didn't produce anything writing from the riparian property owner that granted him the right to harvest from this riparian area.
The permit that was issued in a different name but to that boat, and for him allowed to be on that boat as long as he was not working in a working private ground is different than working on the public. On the public, you have to have the permits and the licenses in your name. Mr. Turner was he skirted the issue.
Yeah.
By getting somebody else to get that permit in his name.
Mr. Hall, can I ask you a question?
Okay, so there's 28.2-810, subsection B, makes it unlawful for a person to take or remove shellfish from private grounds and condemned areas without written authority in his possession from the owner or lessee.
That's correct, yes.
And did he have written permission from the owner or lessee of that ground to harvest from the ground?
Harvest from the clean section of the ground, yes. He did not have the polluted permit.
But did he have written authority, not a permit from the state, but a written authority permission from the property owner?
The only way that he can get the permit to work private ground is that the district officer check with the leaseholder and get their permission for the officer to issue permits to the agent. And that's what I do every time I get a question. I won't allow a waterman to come in and say, I have permission to work Joe Grist's ground, and I don't check with Joe Grist.
Mr. Erskine.
I just have a question about a dredge permit. Was this produced by VMRC for Richard Green that actually is the leaseholder of the ground?
Leaseholder gives us permission to give the dredge permit for his grounds, plural, to anybody he assigns that privilege to be. That's why we check with the leaseholder and before we issue those permits to the individuals who are acting as an agent for the leaseholder.
And you're saying that Mr. Turner did have a dredge permit for that ground?
A permit on the boat. It was not in Mr. Turner's name. It was his partner's name that was on the boat with him, but it was written for that boat specifically.
Okay.
But there are two different permits that you need if you're
correct.
Working polluted versus clean. None of the boats mentioned here today had a polluted permit to were the polluted ground or the condemned area.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Haney.
I've got a question. If there was a dredge permit on board the boat, then I don't understand how we can use revocation of licenses for theft of oysters if they had permission to be there.
It wasn't for theft of oysters, but it was 810 is in the health code.
But we're bringing them in under 28.2.528, which is theft of oysters.
This was not an issue of theft.
But it would be theft.
There was a dredge permit on the boat.
There wasn't for the condemned area. Commissioner.
Yeah, Mr. Erskine.
I guess I have a question. With that piece of ground that we're looking at on the screen, Mr. Richards Green's ground, that line, the condemned line, divides the ground. Is that correct?
That's
almost
correct.
In half.
Mr. Green's ground runs from where the cursor is here.
Yes.
Down here, down this way.
Right.
In here, and then back up.
So
the
my
ground inshore of him is Mr. Carr. The ground to the northwest of him is Mr. Carr, and this is public out in here.
So
Mr. Green's ground, the clean portion is here. The condemned area behind the line to the east of the line is over here.
So when I asked about a dredge permit before, that was for the ground that's adjacent to the public ground. Is that right? The dredge permit.
It is for
and
the entire ground, but excludes any ground that would be in a condemned area.
So in essence, if somebody were to catch oysters on Mr. Green's ground, he would need two dredge permits. If he were going over the entire ground, he'd need two dredge permits, one for the condemned area, one for the open area?
You cannot work two at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. You can only work the condemned area with the proper permits. With our oversight, the clean ground can be worked without that oversight and without any further permits than that individual permit for Mr. Green's grounds, but the clean section.
Isn't the question unlawful taking?
Commissioner, may I address?
Yeah, Mr. Gress, please.
In response to Ms. Haney's question, under 528, the way it reads here is the commission without notice hearing shall revoke all license to take or catch fish, shellfish, or marine organs issued to any person convicted of unlawfully taking oysters or other mollusca from public grounds, any riparian oyster planting ground assigned pursuant to Article 1 or Chapter 6, or any general oyster planting ground lease pursuant to Article 2. The thing here is they illegally took the oysters from a condemned area. So it's not so much as a personal theft issue to Mr. Green. This is an issue that it was illegal for them at all to take those oysters out of that condemned ground. They had no permitting at all to take those oysters. So that is where this falls under 528. That is the unlawful taking of oysters.
And I realize he's in the wrong, and I agree he doesn't
yeah.
have a license to be out there to start off with, but I still question the theft of oysters being brought in under this code section.
Taking or catching oysters is different from theft.
Well, here's the problem.
Right. Exactly.
It's the title of it.
It's the title, not what's written.
Which is not really part of the code.
So I guess, while they're conversing, I'll just ask. I'm confused, I guess, about the dredge permit on the condemned area. This gentleman did not have the right permit, therefore it is theft.
Yes.
It could be conceived as he's, it's theft. Without the right permit, you don't have permission to take oysters off there.
It is theft under that, yes.
And that joint permission from the leaseholder as well as the state
here.
And basically,
it's of unlawful.
Okay.
We're just taking it from polluted ground. It has nothing to do with.
Clarify or muddy the waters even further. To work this ground, you'd need a dredge permit, period. And you'd need permission from Mr. Green. Our law enforcement would need to know Mr. Green is authorized persons or boats to work this ground, to get a dredge permit. To work in the polluted area, you need an additional permit related to the health department issues to relay these oysters to a clean area, which they could be moved to the clean side. But you couldn't work both of them at the same time. You couldn't be working, harvesting oysters on the clean area and also trying to harvest polluted oysters and be moving them at the same time. If you work in the polluted area, you have to have permission to work the ground, and you have to have the other permit that would allow you to harvest oysters in a polluted area to move them under oversight of law enforcement. They have to be involved in that process to make sure they're replanted on a clean bottom, either on this lease or some other lease that's in a clean area. So the violations here were working in a polluted area without the proper, I believe, without the proper permit to do so. Characterizing as theft, you know, you have to look at what the code section says. They were illegally working in here.
But they had the ground owner's permission.
They weren't stealing oysters from Mr. Green.
Right.
But they were taking oysters in an area the state says you cannot take them unless you have the proper permit.
And you cannot take them ever from a condemned area.
I understand.
Or direct market.
Understand. Right. Follow-up question on that?
Do you think that's what they were doing?
That's what they said that they were doing, and they further said that they would like to bond the oysters so that they could sell them. And I said, there's no way that you can bond polluted oysters.
So what happened to the oysters?
They were put in the sanctuary so that there would be no chance of being put in a clean area and then harvested and put on the market before the waiting period.
That's pretty straightforward.
Mr. Zedra, from staff here, can you tell us a little bit about condemned areas and what their hazard to the community is and those type of things?
Well, before we move on to that, I'm sorry to short-circuit this, but I've had a conversation here with Mr. Hull, and I think we have a procedural issue with all of this, and that Mr. Turner and the other nine defendants here, or they're up for license revocation here, were convicted of under 28.2810, which is harvesting polluted product. And that conviction makes them entirely eligible to come before the commission here under 28.2232, which is the catch-all for violations, period. But we have brought this mistakenly, I think, in my opinion at the moment, under Code Section 28.2528 that deals specifically and solely with oyster theft from riparian planting grounds, et cetera, from public grounds. I'm thinking we have a procedural issue here in that this case is being brought under the wrong code section for the purposes at hand. That's Mr. Hall, if you can explain this better, I'd be much obliged.
Okay, so under 28.2528, in order to fall under that section, a person has to be convicted of unlawfully taking oysters or other mollusca from the public grounds, any riparian oyster planting grounds assigned pursuant to Article 1, or any general oyster planting ground leased pursuant to Article 2. So a conviction has to have as an element that they took it from one of those grounds, either public grounds, riparian grounds, or lease grounds. So under 810, it's only an element of unlawfully taking it from one of those areas if it falls under subsection B, which is where they don't have the written permission in his possession from the owner or lessee of the grounds. Under 810A, you know, it could be essentially anywhere. So we need to proceed under 232 instead, in my opinion.
I have a motion.
Mr. Zedra.
I would move that we continue all of these cases to appropriate time, maybe January, and renotice the defendants under the proper code section and then deal with it at that time.
How about we deal with it at the December meeting here on December 9th here, and they will be properly notified to appear and summon here before the commission under 28.2232, and they will all have individual hearings.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. With apologies to wasting
time.
It